I'm sitting there listening to the readings. A people sitting in darkness has seen a great light. And today, of all days, the sun is just hitting that presider's chair as I was sitting there. And I hadn't noticed the sun in that angle before. And we realize we're not talking about light the way we're talking about lighting in a church. There's a much more profound way to think about light. A people sitting in darkness are in the darkness of death, ruled over by death, and they see a great light, the light of eternal salvation. Life makes the idea of light a much different concept. And we know how death images darkness. So how do we live in that light? And Jesus is calling people. This is what the prophecy was all about. The people have sitting in darkness have seen a great light. And he says, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was Jesus preaching. Jesus is God. Heaven is where God is present. When Jesus is sending out Peter and Andrew and James and John as apostles to make them fishers of men, he's gathering from darkness to light, inviting them to leave their darkness and come into the light. Heaven is where God is present. God became man to gather us to himself. But we cannot have heaven unless we repent. In many people's thinking, if there is a heaven, then it should be open to everybody. Wouldn't be fair if everybody couldn't get in. We should all be going there regardless of our relationship with God. Isn't that fair? Perhaps you've heard a child's question. I love this question. Innocent question from a child. You've heard it. Can dogs go to heaven? What a beautiful, innocent question. And we should know how to respond because it's an incredible teaching moment. And the truth remains that eternal life, eternal light, is only possible with God. Apart from God, it's inconceivable. Apart from God, there simply is no eternal life. Only God is eternal. When we repent of our darkness, our sinfulness, our rebelliousness, we're asking God to take us back to Him, like those first parents, Adam and Eve, before their rebellion, they were without sin before their rebellion. They were created to live forever. That's the way God made man and woman. God didn't make death. God didn't create darkness. When Adam and Eve rebelled, they were making a choice. They wanted eternal life, but not with God. Wrong decision. They wanted to be like God, but they didn't want God. They didn't want to be with God. They separated themselves from God. Remember when they went and hid in the bushes? That's what the church has always understood as original sin. This desire to have what God has, but to be separate, independent from God. When Jesus is saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, we hear a loving God saying to us, I love you. Please come back to me. Now, there's a funny thing about repentance. You have to ask for it. It's an interesting moment in the confessional when people come in and they kind of assume that they've done enough just by showing up. I said, no, you have to tell me what your sins are. It doesn't work otherwise. You have to repent. I can't repent for you. You have to repent. Repentance isn't repentance if we don't ask for it. Jesus was calling for conversion. And those who refused to repent, Jesus called stiff-necked. Good term. For the repentant, Jesus gave us the sacrament of baptism to restore us to eternal life with him. That episode in the third chapter of the Gospel of John with Nicodemus reveals a lot. Where Nicodemus is saying, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him, amen, amen, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a person once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he? And Jesus answered, amen, amen, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. John the Baptist told his listeners the same thing that Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those were John's words also. And he told his disciples that, see Jesus coming? He came to baptize with the Holy Spirit. I only baptize with water. He knew the difference. Repent and be baptized with water and the Holy Spirit. That is how we are reunited to God. And that is how our sins are forgiven. And that's how we're saved. And with our repentance and baptism, we are restored to the fullness of God's creation and his children. Called to live with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. So when the child asked that innocent, beautiful question, can Fluffy go to heaven? Perhaps we could answer, has Fluffy been baptized? I wouldn't want to go that direction. I'm not going to get into that business. However, the moment is right to teach the child and to renew our own faith. Perhaps a good answer would be something like this. Fluffy was everything God created him to be. Fluffy was never rebellious to God. He was never rebellious in God's kingdom, but people are. So perhaps the best question to put in that child's mind is, it's not about Fluffy. Can we be restored from our rebelliousness to God's kingdom? God made Fluffy too, and Fluffy never rebelled. Man did. There can be no division in heaven. Paul made this point with the Corinthians, to whom he had preached repentance and baptism. We're not divided from God. And these first Christians had to learn about unity. Unity with God and unity with each other. Now, here we are, sometime after Paul had left them. He'd spent a couple of years with them. And he'd gone to evangelize other peoples. other nations, other cities. And he heard by way of the people who were coming and going that worked with him. He heard of trouble among them, divisions in the Christian community at Corinth. So Paul writes, "For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by Chloe's people, that there are rivalries among you." Division is not the same thing as diversity. We experience diversity big time here in our community. Division brings darkness, separation, sin, and we must confront it. Diversity makes us stronger when we share our gifts with one another. Paul commands the Corinthians that all of you agree in what you say and that there be no divisions among you. Like, agree in the creed, agree in the sacraments, agree in the teachings of the church, agree in the light that gathered around Christ. That's where heaven is. That you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. That's unity. Jesus came to gather his people and reunite them. And he tells the apostles, you're going to go out and be fishers of men. You're going to gather. We weren't created to be independent individuals, separated. I do my thing. You do yours. You leave me alone. And as long as you do that, everything's going to be okay. That's not what we're called to do. Baptism reunites the rebellious, the separated, to God and to each other. When they gathered people into communities, Jesus already had a word for it. The word was church. He told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. In other words, I will gather all men here. The words diocese and parish, these were Latin words. They weren't even being used in the church at the time of the Gospels. These words came later, but they became the words that we needed to have something like them to talk about the local church. Diocese and parish. A parish is the community of faithful God has called together to share life on earth, gathered around God, gathered around Jesus Christ on the altar, gathered around the sacramental life of the church. And as God's faithful, we recognize this great gift God has given us by giving us eternal life. We can't get that by ourselves. And giving us himself in the sacraments, particularly in baptism and Eucharist. God's faithful, there can be no divisions between us. The beautiful thing about the confessional, think of the confessional as the room of hope, the room of unity. You go in there and you shed your division, you shed your separation, and you leave, when you walk out that door, united, reconciled to God and to the community. Last week I spoke to you about the role of God's faithful individuals as parishioners. As individual baptized persons, we have to respond. We have to respond to this great love. We're called, we're given a gift, we have to respond. We're loved, we have to respond. And the response is, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. You can count on me. That's a parishioner. As a parish, God's community is called together and we share these gifts. We're gathered in. And as a church and a parish, we're told in the words of St. Paul that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind, in the same purpose, united around God's altar united around God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Where? Where God is. Where is that? Well, for us, it's the altar. It's the sacramental life of the church, the presence of Jesus among us. Once in a while, we have to take stock of who we are as a community. And one of the things we're going to be doing is a census. We're urging all parishioners to register with the church and formally declare, I'm here. This is who I am. United to the parish, to the church. We're called to support one another for the good of one another and for the parishioners of one community in Christ. We are the ones of whom Prophet Isaiah said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. We were once in darkness, but now we have the light of eternal life. And we live as one people, rejoicing in God's favor. I urge you, don't allow yourself to be divided. Be very careful. Don't allow yourself to be separated from God's community in the darkness of selfishness, of individualism, divided independence, but that there be no divisions among you.